Jacob Zone on 104.5 The Zone, 9:45. Going to visit with Grant Boone in just a moment. The Wake Up Zone powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Finishing up the Monday morning facial, our winner. We're going to make Sterling the winner this morning. I like to mix it up a little bit. Sterling had some good takes on Tiger and on Ben Simmons. So, Sterling, if you want to call us back, give you your prize. I mean, $100 gift card.
Not the guy who called up screaming for rent money?
No. We'll give him an honorable mention, but...
poor guy.
It's kind of hard to make out everything he was saying.
Yeah, we're only getting his side of the story, Mark.
Right. I mean, you know, maybe true. They did pay him. He just didn't get the money. By the way, the NFL draft is coming up next week. Thursday is the first round on April 25th. 104.5 The Zone. We're going to have it covered wall to wall. The Zone, Titans Radio. It's sponsored by Ferguson Kitchen, Bath, and Lighting Gallery, by Sprint, by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, and by Ford. You've done your research, read the stats, and now you're ready to make the pick you've been waiting for. So get to your local Ford dealer during the Ford Spring Sales Event for huge savings on a selection of Ford vehicles that are built for spring. You better hurry. The offer ends soon. Draft is soon as well, coming up on Thursday the 25th. Well, this guy is part of the coverage at the Masters yesterday with the CBS, and boy, he just does a great job. And thrilled to have him with us, our old friend Grant Boone. Grant, what's going on this morning?
Hello, friends. By the way, with apologies to Sterling, I think Tiger gets the Sunday afternoon facial to all of the critics who thought he'd never win again.
It had to be remarkable just to be there and just kind of feel what all that was like with that experience. Just kind of explain, you know, just from your perspective, what those roars were like to hear again with Tiger in contention and ultimately winning.
It was all the words you've heard, surreal, epic. But, you know, the first year I began covering the tour was 1997, which was Tiger's first full year on tour. It was the year he won the Masters. And, you know, he changed the game then. And so you fast forward 22 years, and here I am sitting on Amen Corner where, you know, the whole tournament changed. As it seems to every year, he's down two with seven holes to play. And, you know, I said it during our coverage, you know, he's walking across the Hogan Bridge down by two. And by the time he gets to the Nelson Bridge, which goes from the 13th tee to the 13th fairway, he may well be leading. And sure enough, he was. And then, of course, that epic finish, it was, My 20-year-old son, who's a sports fanatic, who, you know, has watched some of his favorite teams win titles. He's a big Dallas Mavericks basketball fan. He's a Duke basketball fan. Don't judge. And he texted me and then called me later. He said, that was the single greatest sports moment of my life, you know. And he was nine when Tiger last won a major. And I just think he and almost everyone else, they wanted to, they just recapture, could we see it one more time? And now we ask, will there be more than one more time?
Grant Boone is our guest, of course, part of the coverage yesterday at Amen Corner with CBS.
Yes, I guess the only question I have to ask, do you think the mystique of Tiger is back, and will that play a part against the other golfers? Because the effect of Tiger is really, really huge and maybe a little different, but can he get it back to the other, I guess, intimidate the other golfers?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. You know, for so many years, people said, well, the mystique is gone. Even if he wins, he doesn't scare people like he used to. Those things are always nebulous, aren't they? I mean, what does it really mean that he intimidated someone? Well, he didn't win. He didn't intimidate Rich Beam or, you know, some of those other guys who beat him over the years. So, I think more than anything, more than intimidation, it was just that he was that much better. Last year he didn't intimidate Francesco Molinari. Did he intimidate him this time? I don't know that it's intimidation as much as it is, that he does have a wow factor that the others don't. And so now it's not intimidation. It's just, listen to how the other players sound like fanboys almost. Like, they're giddy. These guys who are trying to beat him are almost giddy that he's up on top of the leaderboard. And so I don't know that it was that he scares people. the way he used to. It's just the guy can flat out play. And here's a great example of the fact that he's not just great physically with how he swings and plays, but how he thinks as well. So 8 days ago, Sunday, April 7th, he goes out onto Augusta National and walks the golf course with two clubs, a wedge and a putter. Okay? So how does he close out his fifth Masters? With a wedge from a really weird spot. Like, I'm trying to remember the number of times I've ever seen someone play from that spot where he played his third shot yesterday at 18. But a wedge and two putts, and he closes it out. It was like a week later. It just couldn't have been more perfect. You know, it was like he's a great swinger, a great putter, a great player, but he's, you know, maybe the best thinker has ever played as well.
Grant, what about, I thought one of the keys was his driver, and just, his ability, you know, to hit that cut off the tee when he needed to, but also when he needed to move the ball right to left, you know, especially I think on five and maybe 13 and 14. But my point is that he never took himself out of a hole. He never made double, I don't think, throughout the tournament. And he was able to avoid that hole that can really sink you, especially yesterday.
No question about it. Now, it wasn't like he drove it perfectly. At two, he tugged it left.
Yeah.
It was in the junk. And at 11, he flared it out to the right and had to scramble. And then even at 10, he tries to take three wood and hit it, you know, hit a hook around the corner and left it in the junk and had to punch out and made bogey. But, you're, you know, to your point, in fact, I tweeted this during the closing stretch. In 05, people talk about, you know, the fourth Masters win and the big putt in the playoff. He wouldn't have been in the playoff had he not lost a two-shot lead to play. He bogeyed 17 and 18 in part because he hit terrible tee shot. And what did he do at 17? I'm telling you, 17 used to be a cupcake par four. And now it's such an 14 and 17 are just really awkward. There's so many awkward tee shots where the land seems to take you one way, but the hole goes the other way. And he just stepped up and roasted a tee shot at 17. And now he's just got a little flip in for a second. And, I agree. I thought the driver wasn't perfect. But, man, when he needed to step up and rip one, how about 15? You know, Molinari couldn't go for the green at 15 because he blew his tee shot right. And Tiger, you know, flushed one right down the middle and was able to go for the green. And then he had a two-putt for birdie there at 15, which was enormous. And then 16, of course, is, you know, it was perfect that Vern was there. You know, Vern, it's just, you know, Uncle Vern took him home.
Yep. Edging Bruce Koepka by one shot. Just kidding. But the last question I want to ask you, though, is the sort of unintended consequence of starting that round early and CBS getting the gift of Tiger for its replay from 2 to 6. That was a gift from the television gods that they got to show that twice.
Well, in fact, I left the golf course Saturday night with a couple of the production associates, the broadcast associates for CBS, one of whom was the AD, who's in charge of timing, you know, making sure you get all the commercials in. Not that there are that many at the Masters, but you got to figure out all the timing. When are we going to run things? And so I was listening in as these two ADs were talking about how they're going to handle when they're going to start the replay. Do we start it on the second hole, the third hole? What do we do? And I said, you know, from CBS's perspective, really, Tiger doesn't even have to win for it to be a win for CBS, ratings-wise, right? As long as he's in it the whole way. And they said, yeah, it doesn't matter if he wins. But then as I thought about it, I was like, you know what? The fact that he won means that people will stay and watch the replay, even if they watched every bit of it live, which most people did. Had he, let's say, been in it till the end but lost by a couple, you're probably not staying to watch Patrick Cantlay or Francesco Molinari, no offense to those guys, but you're probably not watching the replay. Here, everyone watched it again just to make sure that they weren't dreaming and what they saw live really happened.
Grant, it's great to speak with you. It was great to see you in Jacksonville, too. Have a great day, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks, buddy.
One quick thing. This was my 10th Masters for CBS, and I've said this before, but I've had my career go up and down, out of a job and a job, but there's nobody who's encouraged me more in what I've done than you, Mark. So thank you, buddy.
You know, I love you.
See you, Grant. Oh,
thanks.
See you guys.
All right. Grant Boone, part of the CBS coverage of the Masters.
Yeah, real quick. Preds predictions, real quick.
3-2 Preds.
Oh, that's what I was going to say.
You can go with that.
Yep, 3-2 Preds.
4-3 Preds. It's a wild and woolly scoring affair.
Uh-oh. I'm going to go 3-2.
Oh, 3-3-2. That means Mark was going to win.
That means it's going to be like 1-0. Be back with you tomorrow at 6 o'clock. The Midday 180 is on the way next on 104.5 The Zone.